Shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Listening to the very first radio show called Common Ground Radio right here on KCNR, your North State Progressive Talk Show, right here in Redding, California, where we seek bipartisan agreement on many issues affecting all of us, using respectful, fact-based dialogue, and starting for a change from the progressive side of the street. Welcome! I'm really glad that it's a beautiful day and that you're here with us. We have a special guest coming up real quick to talk about the Sunrise Movement. Mr. Waterbury and Dashiell Waterbury, who's lived here quite some time and has moved back into the area. So before we move on, what we're going to do on the top of the show is present a couple of news items each show. And what I would recommend is that you get your pencil and get a pen, get ready to write some stuff down, because there's going to be a lot of good information and links and resource that you can go to verify our claims. And, you know, this is really important. The country is bipartisan. It really is, and by that I mean either a majority, a large majority, or just a regular majority, meaning more than one, more than 51% of this nation is bipartisan. But unfortunately, the Republican Congress is not, and as Mitch McConnell stipulated a couple of years ago, hey, elections have consequences, and he's stuck to that all the way down the line. And so currently, we don't have a Republican Party. We have a Trump Republican Party. And I'm going to give you some stats here to show the bipartisan nature that Americans do have. And one of them being, do you know that President Biden has a 60% approval rating right now? Trump, on the other hand, left with 34%. I think it might have gotten up to 38%. Do you know that 60% of us, and that's bipartisan, view climate change as a major threat to the well-being and national security of the United States? And that's bipartisan. Do you know that nearly 75% of all voting Americans support safe and sane gun law? And that's bipartisan. I mean, 75% of American voters. Do you know that 67% of voting Americans support the For the People's Act, or H.R. 1? Do you know that 66% of all voting Americans support female reproduction rights? And that's bipartisan. And that's what we seek to do here. We seek to find the bipartisan common ground so that we can work forward and deliver a safe, sane society. So the rules, and so what we're not going to hear on this radio show is we're not going to hear extremists calling for the violent overthrow of our government. We're not going to hear people calling for arming up to the teeth and getting ready for the revolution. You know what? If you want to go there, save it for another show, and we will have, you know, opportunities to talk about that. But what we are going to hear is safe, sane dialogue backed with as many facts as we can possibly have so that you can become informed, and maybe it will get you to think about other things instead of staying in the the everyday, what I call Fox News bubble chamber. So I'm going to start with news item number one. The red, white, and blue blueprint that is a movement here in Shasta County to recall board supervisors, three of them in specifically. And this is going to be brought before the Board of Supervisors this Tuesday, April 6th at 9 a.m. And what they're doing is filing a notice of intent to recall three of our supervisors. All of them Republicans, by the way. All of them, in fact, my supervisor, Leonard Modi, a long history and career law enforcement officer. somebody who would support Second Amendment rights. Somebody who most Republicans who are safe and sound voted for. And anyway, what's important is that you can call in, and you can call into the clerk of the board at 227-5550. You can submit a voice comment for the meeting expressing what you would like to see happen regarding the red, white, and blue print movement. And I call it the red, white, and Bethel print movement because basically the guys behind this, and there are, you know, not just guys, but women as well, basically are militia-backed. They basically are anti-COVID-19 proponents, and some of them actually say it's a hoax. They are either indirectly or directly backed and supported by Bethel. Bethel, by the way, is a pro-Trump political movement as well as a evangelical church here in our area, and you already know about that. So you can call in and leave a voicemail for the public comment period of that meeting, and I encourage you to do that. Oh, by the way, the red, white, and Bethel print movement has a direct or indirect tie with Doug LaMoffa, who is one of their supporters. And speaking of Doug, we're going to be doing a Doug LaMoffa report most of our shows. And, you know, I invited him to be on the show. In fact, Carl Bott yesterday extended an invitation, and he said, well, I'll give it a shot. And hopefully that's not with the M16, but we'll have to see. So far he hasn't responded, but that was only yesterday. Doug complains about big Democratic money. So get your paper, get your pencil, go to www.opensecrets.org, and you will see all the funders that Doug has received money from. And it's a lot of money. And by the way, good old Doug, while cutting food and health care, food programs and health care and food stamps for poor, for the children of our communities, for working families and senior citizens, Doug, on the other hand, has gotten over $5 million from the SNAP program. In fact, that's $5.5 million from the SNAP program. That's the program that funds food stamps. So while he's trying to eliminate food stamps to people that need that in our community, he's receiving millions. Does that make any sense? No. Doug LaMoffa also wants to make sure that H.R. 1 doesn't pass. And H.R. 1 is to protect the American voter. Essentially what Republican legislatures throughout the country want to do is suppress the American vote like they tried to do in the insurgency on January 6th. And they're going to do this by making it into law that the Republican legislators control the Electoral College, not the voters, so that Republican legislators can send to the Electoral College who they deem fit. And that's exactly what Trump tried to do you know, at towards when he realized that he lost the election. And so that's, of course, going to be another topic that we'll bring up on the show. So without further ado, we're going to go right into today's guest, Dashiell Waterbury, who is an educator, stage director, writer, and performer with over a decade of professional experience in opera, drama, and musical theater. Dash has worked throughout the United States internationally as well and has taught both privately and at the university level. And so Dash is also, and I don't want to embarrass you here, but a tenor with a warm tone and thrilling expressive ability.
Are you trying to get me a gig?
Yeah. You can go to DashiellWaterbury.com because Dash does music here in the community and teaches voice. And, Dash holds a degree in voice performance from top-ranked Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music, a brilliant school, just incredible. I remember Dr. Tognazzi. Also, was an alumni of that's where he got his doctorate degree, as I remember. What is this? A fellowship in directing from Wolf Trap Opera, and it has assisted several companies, including Opera in the North State, Santa Cruz, Shakespeare, on and on and on. I mean, this is pretty impressive. And so Dash is also a proud member of the Democratic Party for Shasta County. And with that, I'm going to introduce Dash as also, for the last 8 months, sort of the founding director of Sunrise Reading Movement, which is, I'm going to let you explain what that is, Dash.
Well, thank you very much, Christian, and thanks for having me on the show. I think your show is really cool because you are trying to spark a conversation, and you are reaching across the aisle. I think that's wonderful and admirable and brave, and I support that entirely, so thank you for having me on.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, and so I'm here, you know, those of your listeners who are saying, wait a minute, this guy's an artist, he's a stage director, he's a singer, he's a teacher. Why is he talking about climate change? And that's a very valid question. So I'm going to start by answering that, and then I'll tell you a little about Sunrise. When we were sitting there in COVID with nothing to do, my wife and I were saying, you know, we can't perform, we can't direct. There's so little we can do right now to be a part of the community. What's something we can do to give back? And we realized that we weren't seeing a lot of action on climate change. And we're at a certain age where we're planning a family. We're looking at the trajectory of our lives, and we're saying, wait a minute, how much of that, of the American dream, is really feasible for us in a world where climate change isn't being addressed? And so we realize that a major part of planning our future is dealing with that as best we can, not waiting for politicians, not waiting for parties, not waiting for corporations to take action, but to take action ourselves. And that's when we turned our focus in this new direction. And I know a lot of young people and people looking at the rest of their lives are doing the same thing. And so that's how this came about. So about 8 months ago, we started doing a lot of research, a lot of reading, talking to a lot of people, local officials, politicians, you name it, everyone we could to get a real picture on what's happening right now.
Well, yeah, and so what, if I'm hearing you right, what you're talking about is what can we do from a individual standpoint,
right,
as well as a community standpoint. Mm-hmm. And Sunrise is also a national movement, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So what my wife and I discovered was that there was a national movement that would that is already working to address this. And it's a grassroots movement. It's composed of people in every city and town in the country coming together. Young people, in the case of Sunrise, there's a cutoff of 35 years old to be a member. So I'm almost aged out of my own organization. But we did decide to start a chapter right here in Reading. There's several other chapters in Chico and all around the North State. Reading didn't have one.
Yeah.
And we thought that was a darn shame. So we started this up. Now, Sunrise Movement as a whole is working to pass a Green New Deal. and to put pressure on our politicians and also to get the information out to the people so that there's enough political will to do this.
So let me get this right. Because I'm almost double that, 35. Is there a supporting organization for people like me?
Oh, well, we have, you know, a membership donor tier. No. No, we're happy to have the help and the involvement of everybody in the community. And we want to see people at events. And I think the goal of the age limit is to encourage young people to own this movement.
Absolutely.
Because young people are going to be spending decades on this planet. And in the next 10 years, we will find out in no uncertain terms how well we've done at addressing this crisis. And at that point, those young people, they have to try to figure out how to have a life on this planet in that world.
Yeah, and, you know, it is the future belongs to you, yeah, just flat out. I hate to say it that way, but, I mean, you're going to inherit our problems and our solutions as well, and take that and build new solutions. And when you say 10 years, do we have any kind of evidence that kind of backs that up? You know, I've been hearing that for a while.
Yeah, I mean, what we're looking at in the next 8 to 10 years, we're going to be looking at passing the 1.5 Celsius mark, which is a mark of a certain level of warming. And at that point, we cross what a lot of scientists are calling a point of no return, where warming becomes a self-perpetuating process, and where a lot of the Earth's basic systems, the functional systems that keep the engine of our planet going, they start to alter significantly enough that they're going to devastate our infrastructure, our economies, and make it very hard to sustain large populations on the planet. We're already seeing the beginnings of this, so if you want to try to use your imagination for a moment to extrapolate, if this is just the beginning where it's headed, think of the storms we saw in Texas, freak snowstorms shutting everything down. No way the infrastructure could support that, and that's just the beginning. Our wildfires here in California. And you mentioned the word national security.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about the equatorial countries that are losing landmass to the ocean, that are facing droughts, untenable heat, famine, they're already sending migrants all over the planet, which is already threatening the borders of every country on the earth.
Right.
And, you know, you want to talk about a country like that getting desperate enough if they have nuclear weapons and they say we have nothing left to lose because we have no water. Mm-hmm. You know, what does that picture look like? And that's what we could be seeing in 20, 30 years.
Yeah. It's almost dystopian in view.
I dispute the word almost.
Okay. But we try to be optimists. And how can so give us a couple of simple solutions to mitigate what we can do as individuals to mitigate climate change.
Well, there's a lot we can do, actually. I mean, you don't have to be like me, sticking your neck out there and getting involved politically in order to take action. You can take action at home, and there's all sorts of ways to do it. So that's actually the big reason that I wanted to come talk today, because there's so much doom and gloom and fear around this issue. I mean, outright terror, especially in people my age and younger. There's terror. And so we used to be mostly talking to people that didn't believe in climate change. Now most people do. But now we talk to a lot of people that don't believe we can do anything about it. And that's the new fight.
Yeah.
And that's just not the American way. The American way is called the can-do spirit, not the can't-do spirit. You know, we got through World War I and II. We got through the Depression. We got through the Cold War.
Yep.
There's no way in hell that we can't beat this.
Yeah, you know, it just seems to me that no matter what you call the higher power, or maybe you don't even have a higher power, but it seems like we were provided with an awful lot of intelligence. And
well, some of us. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, I want to say that most of us are born with that, and you know, through different processes as we grow up, whether it be our environment or lack of nurture or what have you, sometimes that kind of obstructs our intelligence. And some of this stuff is not rocket science. It just seems to me some of this stuff. Man, you know, we could have been doing this yesterday. We could have been doing this 10 years ago.
Oh, no, make no mistake, this is not an intelligence issue. I think that gets back to the narrative of black and white, left and right, one side stupid, the other side stupid, that kind of thing. And that's useless because it's not true. Ultimately, you know, if you asked your average American 30, 40 years ago, do cigarettes cause cancer?
Right.
They'd say no. Does that make them stupid? No. They were being lied to.
Absolutely.
They're being lied to by people that had money in the game and wanted to make sure that their interests were being met.
Yeah.
Right? It's the most human motivation in the world. Yeah. And you're looking at the same thing right now.
Yeah. Well, Dash, we got a caller, and are you ready to take a phone call?
Well, let's see what happens.
All right.
All right. We have Don on the line.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Don.
Good morning. Hey, and thanks for bringing the attention of climate change to our North State here. About a month ago, I suspect you all saw in the paper that the city of Petaluma voted, their city council voted 5-0 to not allow any future fuel gas stations henceforth after a certain date. And I believe that date is in effect now in the city of Petaluma, the county of Sonoma.
That's big news.
I would like to see that happen here in the city of Redding. I've done a cursory count of gas stations in Redding, and it's amazing. There's, you know, some places there's like three on a on every corner. And if the city of Redding is going to meet the state of California's climate, what do you call it? They want us to meet in 2030, I believe.
Yeah.
We have to do something remarkable here. And
yeah.
So,
Don, you're nailing it right on the head, because it just kind of seems like the what I will call the oil economy that we've been running off of for quite some time, of course using the military-industrial complex to back that up, has, as President Bush said, got us addicted, and we got to figure out a way to get off of that.
Well, yes, and again, if you know, all cities in California have to meet the governor's climate schedule by 2030, and that includes the city of Redding.
Yeah.
So I hope a group will form and take a real hard study of, one, how many gas stations there are, how many fuel pumps there are, and I'll bet there's going to be about 10 per person.
Oh, man.
Probably out of line, but it's going to be pretty remarkable and shocking.
Don,
and
I really appreciate this info, and you're really pointing us towards the right direction there.
Yes.
Dash, any other comment here? We got to go, Don. And just
yeah, thank
quick.
You.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Don.
You bet. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, this is something that Sunrise Redding was really excited about, this information, this news about Petaluma. And I think that, see, what's great about that is Petaluma is going to go on the map now as the first town to do something that every city in America is probably going to end up doing, and capping their gas stations in the next 10 years.
Wow.
And so if you think about that, there's so many chances right now to get money into our economy by being on the map as a leader in this fight rather than lagging behind. And so far, Redding's done a lot in that department. I mean, we've got wonderful things. Bike paths going in downtown.
Yeah.
We're 87% renewable. We're doing great. And if we can get something like that, all we're saying to the world is, come over to Redding. We're doing exciting things.
Yeah, and it seems like that would be a real economic boost for our community.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that, you know, I drove down Eureka Way the other day. They're building a new gas station 200 feet from another one, which is 200 feet from another one. They got three of them right there, you know.
Oh, boy.
It's overkill.
So can we let's go ahead and take another call real quick. Who do we got?
We got Randy on the line.
Randy.
Hi, Randy.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I've been driving an electric for the last 2 or 3 years, and of course the big fear for everybody is running out of juice, you know. and while we do have some charging stations around, I'm wondering, do you know of any programs in our county, in our local area, to expand charging stations?
Wow, good question.
Yeah, well, this is the kind of thing that Sunrise Redding is working on, you know. We're a small and plucky band, and we're looking at what we want to ask the city council for in the upcoming months, you know. Capping gas stations is one way to do it. Another way is to just increase people's ability to get a good charge on their car. Right now, you know, you have to go to a couple of different parking lots in town and wait in line. I also drive a car that takes a plug-in, needs a charge. And so, yeah, we want to see exactly what you want to see. We want to see tons more of these chargers available to people. I want to see them at the Mount Shasta Mall. I want to see them everywhere that people congregate.
Hey, Randy, thanks. Thank you so much for calling. We're gonna have to break away here. And Randy, we look forward to your input in the future.
Hey, thanks. Hey, thanks for the show and thanks for the station.
Absolutely.
Yeah, enjoy your car.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this summer. Get a jump start on being transfer ready for a CSU, UC, or four-year university. Or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree from Shasta College. Our summer session offers flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings that easily fit around jobs and family responsibilities. Right now is the perfect time to invest in your future. A degree or certificate from a community college will pay dividends throughout your lifetime with an average annual wage of almost $53,000. And at Shasta College, our industry partners are actively looking to hire qualified candidates from our programs to fill the many positions they have open. Financial aid through grants and scholarships can help you invest in your education without a huge bill when you graduate. Contact a counselor and plan a cool summer of hot classes today. Summer session classes begin June 7th. Achieve more, earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll today at Shasta College.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 24th and 5th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for the outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 24th and 5th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Axe throwing, Euro bungee. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, 12 and under are free. Sunday, we honor our veterans with free admission all day. For CDC social distancing and masks recommended. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 24th and 5th. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Jefferson State Adventure Hub, Crown Motors, and Reading Yamaha and Sea-Doo.
Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to enter our Swipe to Win promotion starting April 1st through June 24th. Weekly drawings on Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. Winners receive bonus entries for the $20,000 final drawing on April 29th. Keep playing for a chance to win a patio boat on May 27th and one of four energy-saving Pedego electric bikes on June 24th. Join us for a safe, comfortable, and fun gaming experience at Wind River Resort and Casino. More drawings, more winners, and more fun. WindRiver.com.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Greetings, North State. Just a reminder here to be sure and tune in to Common Ground Radio Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. You know, we have much more in common with one another than we normally recognize, but fail to see this thanks to our polarized media that deliberately divides us and demonizes the other side. Common Ground Radio is your progressive call-in talk show for the North State right here on Radio KCNR, where we seek bipartisan agreement on many issues affecting all of us using respectful, fact-based dialogue and starting for change from the progressive side of the street. Yep, there we go. And good morning to the North State. We have our special guest, Mr. Dashiell Waterbury, ready to take some phone calls. And as a matter of fact, I understand we have Nick on the line right now. Good morning,
hey.
Nick. How are you?
Hey, Nick.
I still got it going on for an old guy. Thanks for asking.
Oh, excellent, man.
Hey, listen, there's a couple resources I wonder if you guys have tapped into or listened to. One is Planet of the Humans by Michael Moore. Have you seen that documentary?
I'm afraid I have not.
I would urge you to see that. It refutes, you know, some of the things you guys are talking about. And then there's the other one. Oh, what the heck is it? It's a book, Sky Dragon Slayers.
Sky Dragon Slayer.
It was written in 2019, and it's called Victory Lap. They wrote another one 10 years ago or so, and I never read that one. But I've read both of those, and they're really interesting, and they refute a lot of what you guys are having to say.
Okay. So just out of curiosity, the Moore movie, does that refute a lot of the climate change stuff, or is Michael Moore sort of a proponent of mitigating climate change?
Well, I suspect he's probably a proponent, but he's explaining how the science isn't up to par. You guys probably like windmills.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, do you realize that if they, instead of building the windmills and didn't use the fossil fuels they have to use to create the cement, the concrete, you know, they've got like 80 tons in the foundation of a windmill, and that's smaller ones than what we're going to have on Hatchet Mountain. And the amount of steel that goes into it, the energy that's used, fossil energy that's used to create that steel for a windmill that has a lifespan of 20 years, it just doesn't pencil out.
Nick, I really appreciate you calling in, and you're bringing up some real valid points. Dash, what do you got to say? And Nick, I look forward to talking with you in the future. Thank you for calling, sir.
Yeah. I've got some questions I want to talk to you about that are off topic, so maybe you'll have the time to factor that in sometime.
As a matter of fact, yes, sir. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Have a great day.
You too.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Nick. You bring up an excellent point, and I'm really glad that you've done some reading on your own. That's what I'm doing. That's what we're all doing, is trying to inform ourselves. And you're right. You're right that there's a lot of complexity in, you know, overhauling our infrastructure in this way. We're finding all sorts of issues, all sorts of things that need to be gamed. The way I look at this is because, you know, I do believe this is a real issue. I agree with 95% of our scientific community that this is a real issue, and they're not bad scientists. They're good ones. This is like World War II. I compare it to World War II. And when we started World War II, we did not have the technology in place to win that war. We did not have a plan for winning that war. And we went into it, and we spent money and man hours and time fighting that battle.
Yeah.
And we learned as we went.
I'm sorry. We need a Manhattan Project. to deal with the climate change.
We have to nuke climate change. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. You know, we need to spend money and time learning how to do this stuff better. And models are going to get phased out, and money's going to be spent, and it's going to be a big, long struggle.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Just real quick, Dash, before we go to another caller, you've got some stats that you'd kind of want to extrapolate for us?
Yeah, I'll do my best to plow through this.
Okay.
Here are some stats from the Pew Research Center and then some from Yale University. All right, Pew Research Center, this is an encouraging, thought-provoking stat. Two-thirds of Americans think the government need to do something about the climate.
Yep.
It's a very encouraging stat to me. I wish it was higher, but two-thirds, hey, I'll take it. Right?
That's bipartisan.
That's bipartisan, exactly. That's common ground right there.
Yep.
Hey.
Yep, absolutely.
So it's not as black and white as conservative and liberal. As Nick proved when he called in with some great thoughts. And if we're going to be a country that can survive this kind of a next level crisis, you know, we can't act like it is a black and white issue, a conservative liberal issue. So climate change doesn't discriminate between left and right. We can't discriminate when we fight it back.
Good point.
Right. So if two-thirds of Americans want to fix this, that's what we need to keep in mind. Let's delve deeper into some stats. Here's from Yale University. 72% believe that global warming is happening. 72%. That's better than our two-thirds stat.
Yeah.
And we spend a lot of time trying to argue about whether it's real or not, but 70% of people already believe it. So, you know, in some ways it's like, okay, let's move on here. 57%. big drop from 72, believe it's caused mostly by human activity. And that's right now where the discussion is.
Yeah.
The stat is 52%. This is where you see the effect of a massive corporate campaign going back decades to sow seeds of doubt in America's minds. Again, it's no different than big tobacco telling us cigarettes don't cause cancer.
Or DDs.
Right. And they don't have to prove it. They don't have to prove global warming is not caused by people. They just have to get you to doubt it enough that you don't think it's worth taking action. And that's why we see this. You believe it's real, but you don't believe it's caused by humans. That is the result of a long and very expensive campaign to get you to feel that way.
Right.
Okay, so going on, if I'm going to actually recommend a book to Nick, since he was kind enough to recommend one to me. Check out the book Merchants of Doubt. Merchants of Doubt by Naomi Oreskes and Eric Conway, two historians, talking about how big corporations with money in the game, tobacco, oil industry, you name it, have waged these kinds of battles for the hearts and minds of Americans. 55% of people believe that most scientists agree there's global warming. Only 55% of people think scientists think this is real. Whereas, in fact, I can reference IOP Science, which aggregates scientific literature. They report that 97% of articles published in peer-reviewed science journals all agree that global warming is human-caused and a real crisis. That's consensus.
Yeah, that's consensus. And once again, bipartisan common ground. I mean,
you can't
dispute that. Listen, we've got another phone caller on the line, and then I'd like, after we're done with that phone call, to just give us a few things that we can do personally. And also what you're going to be presenting to city government, because it just seems to me like we live in a prime area for alternative energy. We live in one of the, you know, well, anyway, let's go to the phone call right now.
All right, we have Ed on the line.
Ed, good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning. Well, first I want to start by saying thank you so much for what you're doing. Those stats that you just read, well, I'm sure they're true nationally. I'm sure they're not true here locally. Mostly, I think, because of a lot of the media that's out there. So having a show like yours that helps to balance what people commonly talk about here and what is portrayed here in our local media with what is seen outside of the bubble, I think, is really critical. So thank you so much for doing that. I think it'll be very helpful in maybe bringing our community a little closer to the middle. And I think that's probably the right place to be. We have so much extremist talk and thought going on these days. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you, sir. Anything else?
And yes. So the other part of that, too, is, you know, I live here locally. I have a couple of small kids. You know, I'm thank you, Dash, for what you're doing, the movement that you're starting and the things that you're doing. And, you know, there's so much kind of bad press, especially locally, for the Green New Deal that I heard you mention. I was wondering if you could just kind of talk about one or two items in the Green New Deal specifically and why you support those items and why you think they'd be beneficial here locally.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Ed. Before I do that, I just want to point out, here's a couple stats based on what you just said. 35% of our people in this country discuss global warming with each other. 35%, that's it, right? 25% of the American population hears about global warming in the media. 25%, right? So the upshot is this. We have an existential threat to our national security, our economy, our infrastructure, and the survival of our children, and 25% of it don't hear about it on the nightly news, or 75% of us don't hear about it on the nightly news. That's scary. Okay, so Green New Deal stuff, right? So, you know, right now, you know, we're all aware that Biden's working up the American Jobs Plan. And he's working that up with a lot of support from progressives who have had input in that bill. I think right before we started our show, it came out as a little news blurb just now on the radio station here that there's a lot of climate change stuff in that bill. And, yeah, thank God for that. There's a lot of climate change stuff in that bill. So here's some of the things that Biden's New Deal is talking about. It's talking about expanding tax credits for clean energy generation. It's talking about investing $10 billion to launch a climate conservation corps, which will employ people to conserve public lands and boost our climate's resilience. It's going to put $16 billion toward supporting jobs to plug abandoned oil and gas wells. It's going to allocate $174 billion to expand our electric vehicle market, including setting a target of building 500,000 electric vehicle chargers by the end of the decade. And it's going to allocate billions to replacing lead pipes and service lines across the country. Money-wise, it's not what the Green New Deal was proposing. It's not enough to make progressives jump up and down and squeal like piggies. But that's all right. It's a major, major, major blow for the fight to change our climate's future. So it's going to cost about $2.25 trillion, and two-thirds of economists believe that in 10 years that's going to pay itself off because of how it's going to revitalize our economy. So there's a lot of good stuff to hope for with that. And I'll be honest, even if it leaves us a bit in the red, if those are too optimistic, having a future for our planet might be worth some money. I don't know, just a thought.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, having a future for our kids, and not only our kids, but kids that live in Europe, kids that live in Africa, kids that live in China, you know, you're getting the point. It's to have a future, and that's a small down payment. And once again, we have been addicted to the oil economy, I guess, for the last 100 years.
Yeah, and you know, I want to say something about that. Actually, we believe in a free market, and a free market is something that a lot of people across the aisle also believe in, right? I'm not a socialist. I believe in a free market. When Donald Trump came to power in 2016, touting oil and gas, right, doubting coal, saying these are great economies of the future, their stock fell. Because the free market was already determining that new technologies, solar, wind, electric cars, that these are the way of the future. The American dollar was deciding its own future there, and nothing he could say was changing that. And that's how we want our market to work. That's a good thing.
Market-driven.
Market-driven.
So I guess it's Volvo that are they're not going to produce any more gas-driven vehicles here real soon? Is that what I understand? Volvo?
Yeah, every company, car company's talking about this. And we're hoping that they're putting their money where their mouth is. We've been burned before, Christian, I tell you what.
Yeah.
So I think it was GM that back in 2000 or even in the 90s made a whole electric car fleet, which was selling like hotcakes, and they took them and destroyed every one of them.
That's right. There was a whole movie on that.
Yeah. And that's why investing this money through the Green New Deal, or Biden's version of it here, the American Jobs Plan, is so important. It's gonna send a message. When we take a federal fleet of cars and make it electric,
Right. Those
car companies are going to pony up and say, okay, time to get serious about this. And that's the kind of action we need right now.
You know, and I remember that one of the things that Donald Trump did was he put a freeze on California's right to regulate emissions. So it's – we've got an opportunity here, folks. This is just such a grand opportunity. And we have excellent stuff coming down the pike from the Democratic Party and from what I call safe and sane Republicans that understand that this is a war. This, you know, it's a war for survival, basically. And so it looks like we got a call. Let's go.
Do you want to take Nick again?
Oh, okay. Sure. Right.
Hey, thanks. I've got a question now. Let's say everything you guys are proposing comes to fruition, and in 10 years we're a clean country. What about China and India? They probably do 65 or 75% of the polluting, and you look at, just look at Mexico. You know, they burn tires to stay warm still in some of the villages in South America. What is collapsing our economy to get to the Green New Deal? How's it benefit us when nobody else is going along with the deal?
That's an excellent question, Nick.
Thank you, Nick. We're going to go ahead and let Dash answer that excellent question.
That is a fantastic question. Thanks. And I hope you got my book recommendation, Nick. All right. So, in the past, the United States has led our world, not just economically, but as the leader of the free world. We were called leader of the free world. And, you know, those of us that want to make America great again, I'm sure want to see America lead the way into the future. So yes, many of the world's countries are not making these necessary adjustments. But I think for America to look at that and say, well, if you're not going to do it, why should we? That doesn't sound like American thinking to me. Mm-hmm. American thinking is, hey, someone's got to lead the way out of this crisis. Someone's got to set a standard. It's not going to be China. It's not going to be India. It's not going to be Mexico. It's going to be the United States of America. And we're going to lead the way out of this crisis. When we step up and join Europe and we say we are going to get us out of this crisis, you're going to see other countries fall in line, partially because they're going to have economic incentive too. When we have a revitalized, transformed grid, and you know, when you said when we tear apart our economy, we're not going to tear it apart. We're going to rebuild it. We're going to build it in the place it is, build it back better. We're going to make it stronger. We're going to make new jobs. And so when we're doing that and the rest of the world sees that, they start having a pressure to do the same thing in order to compete with us.
Yeah. What an excellent point. I mean, saving Mother Earth or saving our future is good business. Now, it doesn't mean that people are going to have to switch over from one economy over to the other. And I do believe that in the New Green Deal or in Biden's plan, for instance, there's money to help transition that with workers.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people in this area, and I suspect Nick's in this group too, remember the timber wars of the 80s and 90s that are continuing now. They remember seeing little towns in Oregon die, and they remember seeing people lose their jobs and feel like they had nowhere to turn, and that's awful. And they were doing it, what, because of saving the forest or the spotted owl, right? And there was a lot of feelings about that, and that's totally understandable. But we're not looking at that right now. We're not looking at the destruction of people's entire lives. We've got jobs to replace these with. People are going to be learning new skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be changing some of their skill sets that they have now and developing new ones.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a big change.
You know, and Nick, you know, if you're digging a hole and you're not getting anywhere but deeper and deeper, the first thing you do is you put down the shovel and you figure out what else you're going to do. And that is what we are providing, I think, or you know, groups like Sunrise. In fact, that's what the majority of scientists that are addressing this issue are providing. That's what technological companies are providing. That's what automobile industries are going to be providing as they switch over. Some are shutting down production of gas vehicles and going completely electric. One of them, Tesla.
Tulsa's their Midwest hub, I'm sure.
Yeah. Anyway, that is a leading technology not only for vehicles, but to electrify our homes off the grid and supply the grid with electricity. There are so many innovative solutions available, and we are America, folks. We are the leaders. We are supposed to be the leaders. Let's show the world how to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And it may not be easy, but we are going to get it done.
All right, we got time for a phone call here before we wrap up with so let's go ahead and go to the phone.
We got Doug on the line.
I'm sorry, who?
Doug.
Oh,
hey,
Doug.
Hello. You guys are doing great. Fantastic show. I just wanted to ask a question in response to what Nick said a moment ago about the economy, and perhaps you could speak to the issue of, you know, what our economy is based on. If we have a healthy ecology, a healthy planet, then our economies thrive. But the fact that every nation on Earth is part of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change suggests that all the governments are taking it seriously. It's true that no nation is doing what they need to do, but the caller suggested that we're standing alone on this, and that's not the case. And many countries are doing much more than us, including China. China's actually leading the world in many ways. We're the ones that are lagging. But I'd just love you to address that issue of it harming the economy and the fact that we won't have an economy if we don't solve the climate crisis. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Doug.
It's always so important to come back to that. You know, we talk about jobs lost or we talk about economic difficulties as if we're living in a vacuum right here. And we're not, because actually we're living with a 10-year life sentence saying, hey, how bad do you want it to get? And so we got to remember that what we're facing on the other side, you know, is a conversation killer. It's just like, hey, we got to do what we got to do here. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
So 95% of scientists, again, agreeing that this is real, it's man-made, and it's an actual crisis we have to fight.
So for my Second Amendment friends out there, kind of envision it this way, and this is pretty gruesome, that the bullet has been fired. And it's slowly traveling down the chamber, and it's headed our way. And it doesn't mean that we can, as a matter of fact, we can change that trajectory. There's no reason to shoot ourselves in the foot. There's no reason to create catastrophic events for our children, for our grandchildren. You don't want that. I don't want that. Nobody wants that. We want our families to be healthy and with a bright future. And that's common ground. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up real quick. Dash, give us some parting thoughts.
I just encourage everyone who's listening and is maybe on the fence or thinking about how they can evolve to get out of the bubbles. Get out of the bubbles and look for all the information you can. Nick called in with some book recommendations. I also gave one, Merchants of Doubt. Bill Gates has a new book out, How to Beat a Climate Crisis. But read that, you know, get out there, go on NASA's website. NASA's a pretty trusted resource. See what they have to say about climate change. You'll get some wonderful info and graphs. If you want to take action locally, I want you to think about this. We have power to do some of the most important aspects of climate change mitigation locally. I can't make someone in Washington act on my behalf, looking at you, Doug LaMalfa. But what I can do is get involved here and make sure Reading is ready. Reading is moving, and it's getting on board. And so that's what I work to do every day. You can work to cut your own emissions at home, right? Mm-hmm. If you're looking at using some stimulus money here from the COVID check, and you're looking at new cars right now, I see so many brand new car stickers on cars driving by me on the roads that are just been bought. Look at the hybrids. Look at a Prius. Look at something electric. Look at how you can get something. For no other reason, folks, then in 5 years you may have trouble selling a gas car.
Yeah. And there's incentives to do that.
Yeah. You can go to REU and get incentives, right? You can start riding your bike. You can switch out your natural gas heater for a heat pump. There's rebates for that as well. And I want you to start looking at your politicians and saying, who's actually addressing this?
Right.
Who's standing up for us? Who's looking at the future?
You know, just real quick, Audrey Denny was a proponent of Sunrise, 3-4 years ago? I mean, she was, you know, closely linked with Sunrise Movement. And by the way, we hope to have Audrey on the air here in the near future. But we've got to
even if you're committed to voting Republican and that's who you are, that's fine.
Yeah.
But talk to your candidates and say, look, this means something to me. I don't want this to be a partisan issue. I want this to be something we fix as Americans together. All right?
Yeah, it's because, in the reality, it is going to take the majority of Americans to do this.
Mm-hmm.
The minority can't do it alone. Once again, I want to thank Reading Sunrise. And how do we get a hold of Reading Sunrise?
You can find Sunrise Reading online. We're a bunch of kids, so you know we're online.
Okay.
You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram, Reddit, Twitter, wherever you get your social media stuff done.
Yeah.
And you're welcome to email us at sunrisereading@gmail.com.
So just Google it in. You're going to get it. There's no question about it. Yeah. And once again, thank you, Dash, for coming down. It's been a very informative and factual show. And we want to base our information on facts. And once again, been great to have you. We look forward to seeing you on the air next Saturday, 9 o'clock. Tune in. and stand by for the presentation of what's going to be on the air. We have a special event coming up, and look forward to talking with North State Reading real soon. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Bye-bye, folks.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The deadly breach of the Capitol's perimeter on Friday can now delay the gradual reopening of the building's grounds to the public. It came even as lawmakers were looking for a return to more normal security measures in the aftermath of the January 6th riot. Florida Congressman Michael Waltz says President Biden's new death tax will have a devastating impact on rural America.
And for our farmers to hand that land down that are often, you know, land rich and cash poor, with that type of business, they can't hand that land down to their relatives anymore. It's going to destroy family-owned farms and family-owned businesses.
Congressman Waltz says the heirs of such estates, upon the death of the owner, will now be forced to sell those estates because they won't be able to afford the taxes if they don't. He was interviewed by the Salem Radio Network. America's employers unleashed a burst of hiring in March, adding 916,000 jobs. CFRA Research Chief Investment Strategist Sam Stovall.
Whether it was in retail, manufacturing, construction, or leisure, all of these areas saw a tremendous gain in jobs.
The March increase, the most since August, was nearly double February's gain of 468,000. A police chief in North Carolina says at least seven people were shot at a house party early today, leaving three people dead. Wilmington Police Chief Donnie Williams says the shooting took place inside a home around midnight. Information about the people who were shot was not immediately released. Tesla's first quarter sales doubled those of last year.
Tesla delivered nearly 185,000 electric vehicles in the first quarter, despite a shortage of computer chips that has hit the global auto industry. That was more than double the deliveries for the same period last year and beat Wall Street estimates.
And that report from correspondent Keith Peters. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you're a radio listener, one thing I'm certain of is that you're not tuning in to listen to me. So I'm sorry about the next 45 seconds. But we have specifically chose this station because we think we're similar, and we'd love for you to see why our mortgage team might be a good fit for you or someone you care about. One, we've got a direct lender advantage. Our mortgage team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender. There's no middleman, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, an advantage that often allows us to get you a better rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money. Two, our faith is a big deal to us, and we're open about that. If we seem like a fit for you, we'd love to talk. We are United Faith Mortgage.
UnitedFaithMortgage.com. Nice.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Via NMLS number 65233. Equal housing lender. By license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Iran and the major powers in the agreement to keep Tehran from developing nuclear weapons say they're ready for the return of the U.S.
The chair of the group, which includes the EU, China, France, Germany, Russia, Britain, and Iran, say they recognize the prospect of a full return of the U.S. to the JCPOA and will be discussing modalities to ensure the return to its full and effective implementation. They will resume further talks next week in Vienna in order to clearly identify Iran's sanctions lifting and nuclear implementation measures. Washington pulled out of the deal in 2018 under President Donald Trump, but successor Joe Biden has indicated he would be willing to rejoin. I'm Charles Diledesma.
Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds has signed a bill that will make handgun carry permits and background checks on unlicensed sales optional in Iowa. As of July 1st, those wishing to buy a handgun will be able to do so from private, non-licensed sources. Breaking news at townhall.com. Attorneys general from 13 states have sued the Biden administration now over a provision in the federal stimulus that bars tax cuts from being offset with relief money.
The filing in U.S. District Court in Alabama asks judges to strike down the provision that prohibits states from using $195 billion of federal aid to either directly or indirectly offset a reduction in net tax revenue. The restriction could apply through 2024. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is named in the suit. Last month, she said states can still cut taxes as long as relief funds aren't used to cover for the reductions.
That's Jeremy House reporting. Kansas basketball coach Bill Self has agreed to a new contract that will keep him with the Jayhawks until he retires. The five-year contract guarantees him just over $5.4 million a season and automatically adds one additional year after the conclusion of each campaign. More on these stories at townhall.com.